You are listening to Live with Thrive, an interactive conversation with host Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Stephanie will be showcasing nonprofit agencies and business leaders that help support the community through Thrive, as well as discussing upcoming events and local news. Catch the Live with Thrive show every second Tuesday of the month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Stephanie with Thrive in Southern New Mexico, and welcome to Live with Thrive. It's Tuesday, July 13th, 10 a.m. Woohoo! I got the time and the date right today. We are coming to you from the muggy Tularosa Basin today, and I'm so excited to be here. We've got an awesome show today. I want to just go over a couple of Thrive in Southern New Mexico things. Let me see if I can get our adjusting here. I think we're good. So if you haven't heard, I know the guys over here have been playing some of our amazing new events that are coming up. Boy, have we been busy. Let me tell you, we are in the midst of coming back to life after all of this year and a half of being stagnant and doing nothing, it seems. We have an awesome, awesome event beginning next week. It is the online auction that will begin on July 22nd through 25th. And let me tell you guys something. There are some really cool, amazing prizes that you can bid on. It's a four-day online auction that's benefiting Thrive in Southern New Mexico. It will begin July 22nd, which is next Thursday, at 6 a.m., folks. You can go onto the Thrive in Southern New Mexico website, letsthrivenm.org. And you can register, sign up to be able to bid on some amazing items. Now, I can't tell you what those items are just yet. You will know what the items are when the auction opens at 6 a.m. on Thursday, the 22nd. But I can tell you there is some really cool NFL signed memorabilia. There's an NBA basketball that's signed from a legend. There is a hockey puck from a legend that's signed. There's a boxing glove from an all-time great boxer. Can't tell you who it is. There's some amazing trips. There's a duck or dove hunting trip to Texas. There's a, I believe, Disney World vacation, family vacation. All of these things are going to be up for bid. All of the monies go to Thrive in Southern New Mexico. So please check it out. Go to our website, letsthrivenm.org, and get registered, because as soon as that auction is live, you can go in and place your bid, and good luck. Hope you win a bunch of stuff. I know I'm going to bid. After our online auction ends on Sunday the 25th, we have immediately coming up on August 2nd, we have the nonprofit agency fair. Now, what this is Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center here in Alamogordo will offer to the public an agency fair. This is all of the Thrive-funded programs and partner agencies will be we'll have a booth and showcasing their programs that they offer to our communities here in Otero and Lincoln counties. And this event is going to be at Gerald Champion's new conference center, which is right off of Fairgrounds Road and Scenic here in Alamogordo. And this event will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. again on August 2nd, which I believe is a Monday. Now, if you're in the area, please, please stop by between 10 and 2. We have some amazing door prizes. We are giving away a door prize every half hour between 10 and 2. And I'm talking about really cool door prizes. We have a 43-inch smart TV, a 45-inch, something like that. It's big, and it's flat, and it's smart. And then we have some Fitbits. We have a pizza party. We have a wine tour. All of these are door prizes that we're giving away. We have all kinds of cool stuff. So please stop on by. You don't have to be present to win, but come and check out all of these amazing agencies that help our community. And You can even give a donation if you want. That's a good time to do it. Right after the agency fair that same week, August 6th and 7th, which is New Mexico's tax-free weekend, we have our annual Stuff the Bus. We have partnered with some amazing groups here in town. We are going to be filling that bus up with school supplies during tax-free weekend. We will be located at the Walmart Supercenter over on New York and First Street in Alamogordo. We've got Grace United Methodist Church will be there. Love Inc. will be there. We are collecting school supplies and monetary donations. And I know that the Alamogordo High School football team will be on hand on Saturday, and they will be collecting monetary donations on our behalf. And again, I know this is happening after school starts, but we are still collecting school supplies for kids and teachers because you can't have enough of school supplies, I'll tell you that. Again, that's August 6th and 7th, tax-free weekend at Walmart here in Alamogordo. Stuff the bus. And then finally, I want to mention that our annual Day of Caring is coming up September 10th, which is a Friday. It's the Friday right after the holiday, Labor Day, in September, September 10th. Now, this is our 30th year of doing Day of Caring here in Otero County. We are so excited. We have about 70 residents thus far that have requested help. These are senior citizens, veterans that need assistance with yard work, cleaning up porches, chopping wood, trimming trees, painting a fence, mending a fence, anything that we can do outdoors for these folks that might not be able to do it themselves. We have quite a few volunteers signing up already. We are still looking for more volunteers. So if you are interested, please go again to the Thrive website, letsthrivenm.org, and you can obtain not only a volunteer form if you want to help out that day, but if you know of someone that needs assistance in their yard, a veteran or a senior citizen or someone disabled, please go to that website as well. Again, letsthrivenm.org, and you can pick up an application to be helped, and those applications are due this Friday. But again, Day of Caring, our 30th annual Day of Caring, September 10th, 30 years. And we've been partnering with Holloman Air Force Base, active military members. They come out every year. I mean, we help people all the way to Mayhill, Timberon, Bent, Tularosa, Chaparral, Alamogordo, everywhere in Otero County. So please come out and help. If you can't do anything else, it feels so good to be able to help our neighbors and our friends. So let's move on to our show for the day. I'm so excited because my dear friend and pastor, Mr. Kelly McQuigg of Grace United Methodist Church, is here with me today. Good morning.
Morning, Steph. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I couldn't imagine a better place to be this morning.
I mean, you and I, between the two of us talking, we could talk all day long. I mean, both of us could talk all day long.
Not a problem at all. They may have to kick us out of the studio.
They might. So. I know. Bob will come running in here with a stick or something.
Well, we can just go continue our conversation elsewhere.
All right, right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. Yeah. And I'm so excited because I wanted to highlight and share with our listeners why I invited you here. And that's because not only are you my friend and my pastor, but Grace United Methodist Church is a big community partner of Thrive in Southern New Mexico's. I mean, we do several events throughout the year together. We partner with Stuff the Bus, the backpack giveaway, and we always try to help with your the pumpkin
yep.
patch,
yep.
And anything throughout the year that we can partner up on, we're always able to help, and you guys have been have always reciprocated that. So thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
It feels good to help people.
Absolutely. And you know, what I love about our relationship, well, first of all, I'm relatively new to the area. I've only been here about 2 years,
but it feels like you've been here forever.
It does. The pandemic has done a really crazy thing to time itself, and it feels like 20 years sometimes. But what I love about Grace's relationship with Thrive is anything that that Grace reaches out to Thrive for, Thrive says, yeah, let's do this. And I feel that I long to do the same thing with Thrive. Anything Thrive
and
says, hey, Grace, let's do this. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. There's only good that can come from us working together in Otero County.
Absolutely.
And it's just a blessing to see all the people that are helped through it.
Absolutely. And on that note, share with us a little bit about the different programs that Grace offers to the community, because there are so many wonderful things.
So many. Yeah. You know, the big things, you sort of mentioned a few already. We have several years of making sure that so many families in the community get backpacks full of school supplies. We part of the Stuff the Bus program in the past has definitely helped with that endeavor. It will continue to do so this year and hopefully in the next. And it's just so great that families know if they need a backpack stuffed with grade appropriate school supplies, they know the church that they can go to.
Right.
And it's Grace. So that, you know, that's right around the corner. We are, if I can give a plug for our backpack giveaway,
absolutely.
It'll be Sunday, August 1st. Come to the church from, that is a Sunday, right? I think it's
yes,
a Sunday.
It is. It
okay,
is.
Good.
I looked at it.
I'll be like, yeah, good deal. Noon to 3, we're going to drive through backpack giveaway. Come to the church, tell us how many backpacks you need, the grades of your kids, and you'll get a backpack full of grade appropriate school supplies. So,
and let me interrupt you real quick, because if someone's listening and doing the calculation, yes, that is correct. The 1st of August is backpack giveaway, and then the following weekend, that Friday 6th and 7th, after we give away the backpacks full of school supplies, we're going to be collecting more school supplies during tax-free weekends. So don't be confused. Yes, that is correct. We are still going to collect school supplies and backpacks, because if there are people in need after the backpacks are given away, I know last year, I think we ran low on backpacks,
we
right?
Did. And we will always have families come within the month of school starting still needing backpacks.
And anything that we have left over,
absolutely.
We'll save for next year anyway.
Absolutely.
But even throughout the year, sometimes we have teachers that ask for any supplies, because, you know, we'll get through and they'll go a few months and then maybe they run out of paper or they need more pens or pencils or rulers or whatever. So we're always stocked. So it's important to still continue to give if you can, because then we can certainly have those items on hand throughout the year and then to start off for next year as well.
Absolutely. And the last thing we want to do is keep it as complicated and crazy and chaotic as this world is. We want to make it just a little bit easier for our parents, our grandparents, our guardians who are watching after our kids. And if a free backpack full of school supplies can make the going back to school experience just a little easier, you know, praise God for that. That is just awesome that we can do that. So we've got the backpack. We do the pumpkin patch in the fall, and that is just our gift to the community.
And it's so much fun.
That is just it is our time of the year at Grace to say, you know what, we want to love the socks off Alamogordo and Otero County. So come to Grace United Methodist Church, get your pumpkin for the holiday season, and just celebrate an awesome time in some gorgeous weather with some incredibly fun activities to do on our campus.
Oh yeah, it's so amazing.
Yep.
So fun.
Yep. And then we have our weekly food pantry, and we've been doing this for years, where we'll give out, you know, anywhere between 30 to 60 bags of food, sometimes even more than that, to anybody who wants it. No questions asked. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to give us any of your information. Just come. And if you need food, we will make sure you have it. And it is always a wonderful grocery bag full of everything you could possibly need for your pantry. So we do that. We have our Saturday morning shared table that we have been able to continue through the pandemic because of some incredibly faithful servants who said, no, we're not going to stop doing this. This is when our community needs this the most. And we've seen that to be true as our numbers who have come not only to our Thursday morning food pantry, but also our Saturday afternoon free meal. Our numbers have increased dramatically of people who just, like I said, just if we can just make people's lives just a little bit easier with as hard as life is anyway. That's all God's grace working through us, and we're just thankful that we can play a little bit of part of making people's lives more joyful and more abundant.
Now, Kelly, tell me how what is the is there a requirement for anyone to come for pantry and shared table? If someone is in need, is that the requirement?
No requirement whatsoever. If you are hungry, if you need a meal, if you need food, you can come to Grace, and we will make sure there's food on your table.
That's amazing.
That's it's such a passion of the churches, and it's in the church's DNA. They just really long to feed people and make sure that nobody in Otero County goes hungry.
And you can get, again, you can get a meal on Saturdays from Shared Table at Grace United Methodist Church, and the pantry time again is
like 9 to 11 on Thursday mornings.
Thursday mornings.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Just show up, grab some food, and enjoy it. That's awesome. All we ask. Just enjoy it. That's the only requirement. Enjoy the food.
Thank you so much for doing that and helping our community. I mean, it is pretty amazing that we have a lot of civic organizations in our community that I think you can almost get a free meal every day of the week.
You pretty much can. At our food pantry and at our Saturday free meal, we have a sheet available for anybody's interested, a resource sheet that'll tell you when you can get a free meal and where, and you can pretty much you can find a meal pretty much anywhere.
And that's important right now, because
very important.
I mean, people are still reeling from the effects of the world shutting down for a year and a half.
Yep.
And unfortunately, they're having trouble getting back on their feet.
Right.
And so, like you just said, this is more important than ever.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Thank you for doing all of
our pleasure.
Let's go into you explaining to the world that's listening.
No pressure, right?
No pressure at all. Tell us how, and I know this, but I'd like you to share. Tell us how the pandemic has really affected life at Grace and how we've done things.
Right. As a Methodist pastor and as a Christian, as somebody who follows Jesus, I, as a pastor and our church that I'm blessed to be a part of, there are really two priorities going into this pandemic. And they should be our priorities at all time, is that let's keep loving God and let's keep loving our neighbors. At the beginning of COVID, we were determined to, we may have to change in lots of different areas, but that's not going to change. We're going to keep loving God and we're going to keep loving each other, not only each other in the church, but our community as well. So those were our overarching principles moving into this. We might have to change. We might have to be flexible, but these things are not going to change. So the loving God part, we kept worshiping. We kept gathering for a season. It was only online. And that was, as challenging as that was, it was such a blessing to see our community come together in a new and fresh way, and we were able to reach more people. Even our worship attendance numbers increased during COVID because of the amount of people that we were reaching through our online campus, and that was really, really cool to see happen on Facebook and on YouTube. It was just a wonderful. It felt like I was in radio all of a sudden. Like I've got this megaphone that we can reach so many people with the good news. And then of course we were able to come back to our sanctuary and some of us were able to worship in person, those of us that felt comfortable and safe doing so. But then as we kept loving each other and loving our neighbor, we wanted to make sure we were making the wise decisions moving forward to keep our own congregation healthy and do our part to keep our community healthy as well. Yeah. So we tried to follow the best practices as well as we possibly could. And of course, with wisdom and prayer, loosen up on those as we felt the time was right.
Right.
And so, but when it comes to loving not just ourselves, but loving our neighborhood, like I've already said, we kept feeding people. There was not a week that went by that we stopped our food pantry or our Saturday meal. We kept doing it. Of course, that had to change as well. Normally, our Saturday shared table, it was a dine-in meal for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, like every other restaurant, we turned into a drive-through service. And we're still doing that and trying to figure out when's the best time to shift back to dine-in, if we should shift back to dine-in. So that question is rumbling around through those leaders' heads. But when I look back at the big picture of this past 18 months, a lot of the details have changed, but the mission hasn't. The mission hasn't. God has been good. The congregation has been so faithful to say, we're going to keep being Grace United Methodist Church the best that we know how to be. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep loving people. We're going to keep growing in love with God. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep serving. Like I said, the details have changed, but the big picture hasn't. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's been great. And I like to share or highlight what you just said about our congregation actually grew during shutdown, if you will. I mean, Grace has a YouTube channel, a Facebook page, and every Sunday our service is broadcast live on both of those channels. Yep. So even now, when we're back in person worship, people can still go on to Facebook or YouTube and watch it from the comfort of their own home. Sometimes people don't feel like getting out, and there are still some folks that still don't want to be around a lot of people, and this is another outlet. And it's helped us to get other people that may have never gone to church before.
Absolutely.
And they're finding their way,
yeah,
through any of these channels.
Yep.
So I love that. And yeah, I remember back when after the pandemic shut everything down, and we were like 2 months in, and I was Zooming like everything in my life. And after a while, you start talking back to the TV, and and you know, because you're so used to having Zoom,
right,
and it just, you know, it really messes with your psyche. So yeah, you know, I for one am super pleased to be able to be back in person.
Absolutely.
And, yes, and I've noticed every Sunday our attendance is growing with,
yep,
with folks feeling more comfortable,
yes,
being around others, and
yeah,
it's just been really great.
Absolutely. I am so thankful that God allowed us a way to continue to stay together as a community in the hardest times of the pandemic. However, I am so thrilled that so many people have come back to in-person, mm-hmm, not just worship, but activities and service opportunities. And every week, like you said, we see new old faces. You know,
yeah,
I saw somebody at church on Sunday. I literally had not seen them in 18 months. And it was just such a joy to see their face, to go hug their necks and to say, I'm so glad that you're here.
Me too.
They were a new face in all sense of the word. But it was very, very good to see them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Tell me, Mr. Kelly, what is for folks that may not know, there are so many religions, if you will, to choose from. There's so many journeys to follow God, and so many different ways. I mean, I always say it's just, to me, it's like politics. We're all under the same Creator, hmm, who loves us,
yeah,
and we are all, you know, it's what feels comfortable for each and every individual, I guess.
Right.
So explain to us what the Methodist Church is exactly.
Yeah. Churches. Well, first of all, I am so thankful that as I drive around Alamogordo, I see churches all over the place. That,
yeah,
just, that brings such joy to my heart, because it shows me that the people of Alamogordo are a people that many of them are genuinely, faithfully longing to follow Jesus. And as a Methodist church, we are a Christian church. We believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in Christ's teachings, and we believe that that we are reborn into new life in Him, and that the rest of our lives here on earth and into eternity can be filled with joy and happiness as we follow the ways of Jesus. You know, I'm a Methodist pastor for a reason. It's because I believe in the power of the Methodist way. But churches are kind of like, it's kind of like toothpaste. I just want you to use it.
Right.
Right. Just, I don't care what brand it is. You know, I do have my favorite, of course. That brand of toothpaste is called the United Methodist Church. I would love it if you use that brand of toothpaste. But as long as you're brushing your teeth, praise God for that. Right.
Right.
You
know,
I am not here to convince you to go from your church to our church. I'm here to convince people to use toothpaste in the first place. You know,
absolutely.
I want people who don't know Jesus to know Jesus. And whatever we can do as a Methodist church to do that, we want to do. Now, Methodist Church, it's kind of like all the other names of Christian denominations, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal. You know, we use all these terms in our society, but very few people, even people within these churches, don't even know what that means. And so, Methodists, we are a almost a 300-year-old movement of the church, started in England almost 300 years ago by a guy and his brother named John and Charles Wesley. You've heard me talk about John Wesley a whole lot. There may be people on listening right now who have no idea who I'm talking about. Why is this? There's a church started by this 300-year-old guy from England. John and his brother Wesley started this club when they were in college, where they wanted wanted to learn and discover more about God's love in their life. And so what did they start doing? Well, they started reading the Bible more. Imagine that. That's how you can discover God. They started praying more. They started serving the poor more. They started going to prisons. They started serving at soup kitchens. They started going to church and receiving communion more. And they were so regular and disciplined in this, some outsiders saw this club of theirs, this small group, you might call it, and they started calling them Methodists. And it was used originally as a derogatory term, like, oh, they're so Methodist in the way, because they had a method. They had a method. Well, John and Charles Wesley were like, we love this term. Yeah, we're Methodists. We do have a method. We believe that that through these practices of prayer and scripture and worshiping together and serving, that the grace of God does a mighty thing in our lives. So yeah, call us Methodists all you want. And the name stuck. And the name stuck. And so 300 years later, here we are. I'm blessed to be a Methodist pastor. You're blessed to be a member of our church. And we still long to follow this tried and true method that doesn't just go back 300 years, but goes back to Christ's own followers when he instructed them and taught them to serve regularly, to pray regularly, to gather and worship together regularly. This church that we are part of, this toothpaste that we're using, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. It's just tried and true Christianity that has enriched the lives of so many people. So we do have one of these churches in town that's called a Methodist church, and that is Grace United Methodist Church.
I love that. And you're so good at explaining visuals. You make it so easy. And I think every time you speak, like you just did in explaining something, something catches me and I'm just, and I feel even more.
Yeah.
I just realized right now that I was meant to be in the Methodist church because it's based on Charles and John Wesley's starting of it. I feel like they were such giving philanthropist type
absolutely.
Souls.
Absolutely.
And that's what that's my reason for being, I believe. And I feel like what better place? Yeah. I mean, I grew up mostly Baptist and I just, this, I had a calling for this.
Yeah.
I had
a
calling. I mean, there's so many things we can go down right now with that, but I right now when you explained it that way, I feel like that is, I'm following their path.
Yeah. And I think, you know, why some, I have people ask me all the time, what good is the Methodist church today? Why does a community need a Methodist church? And I think for 300 years, that's been a variety of reasons. But today, especially in our society that is so divided, especially even divided among Christians on, should we be serving the poor or should we be just preaching the gospel? You know, there's this debate of whether, you know, let's just preach the gospel and get people saved, or no, we've got to feed the poor. And the Methodist church says, let's do both.
Why can't we?
It is one and the same. There should not be a difference. Preaching the gospel, being gospel people, being Jesus people, is both preaching salvation to people who don't yet know it, and also helping people understand salvation today on earth. And that means food on the table and a roof over people's heads and a bed to sleep in. So we can do both. And I love that we have a church in Alamogordo that is longing and following God and doing both of those things.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, that is so true. And we shouldn't have to choose.
No, we shouldn't.
And that's a huge challenge for everyone, it seems, especially in these times that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for explaining that. I know that there's some listeners that are probably like, okay, well, that makes a little more sense because Kelly knows how to tell a story.
Well, and if anybody, Steph knows, I love to talk about John Charles Wesley and the Methodist Church. So if people are still confused, they can, I'm easy to find. Just come to Grace and find me and I'll talk about Methodist with you.
Or find you on Facebook.
That's right.
Go onto the Grace Facebook page.
I would love to talk about this with anybody.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And Kelly has a little John Wesley bobblehead. I just wanted to say that.
I should have brought him here with me.
You should have.
Maybe next time.
We should have a Facebook page for him.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Wesley in Otero County. Where is he at today?
Oh, that would be so much fun. I'll help you get that set up. So tell me, I'm going, folks, I'm going down a little list of topics that Kelly and I decided to discuss while we're meeting today, just so I wanted to make sure we cover so many things. I mean, there's so many things that aren't on this list, but I just want to share what it is we do. And it feels so good. And we want people to come and visit us anytime.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's so important. You don't have to, you know, participate in every single thing that we do, but just come one day. It's on a Sunday at 9:30 at Grace, and it's just fun, and it feels good, and it's relaxing, and it's a warm and loving and welcoming environment.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to throw that out there because,
awesome,
you know, we've been getting some new folks. It seems every week we have a new person or people coming, and it's just, you know, we want people to feel loved and know God.
Amen.
You know, it feels good. So come, even if you don't want to stay long, come say hi to me. I'm there every Sunday morning in the front.
She'll be the first person you see.
I'm standing by the door with a bag of peanuts and some. Come in, say hi, give me a hug.
Yeah.
And that's all you got to do. So Kelly, what are some things we both love about Grace? Tell me what you love about Grace. You kind of probably already said this, but let's embellish.
Yes. Let me think. Do you want to take turns? I'll give one, then you give one?
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I love about Grace. Well, I've got to first and foremost highlight just how incredible the staff and the leadership that I am blessed to work with every single day at church. I could not do any of this without the support of my staff and my leaders that I'm blessed to serve alongside, the paid staff and our volunteer leadership who give so much. What I love about the Methodist church system, and honestly, most churches operate this way, which I think is beautiful, that it's not just a one person show. It relies on a team. It relies on a family. We're called the family of God for a reason.
Right.
As much as we might get on each other's nerves from time to time, we still operate as a family. And when it comes to my family at Grace, some of the very first people I think of and I'm thankful for are my staff and the leadership that support us and help guide us and give us wisdom as we move forward. And you, I think you know a few of my staff, don't you?
A little bit. We all know that the Thrive in Southern New Mexico board president is Shelley Young, and she's also a paid staff member at Grace.
Yep.
So, you know, we're so intertwining here, Grace and Thrive. I mean, we need to come up with a logo with Grace and Thrive and put it on a t-shirt.
We should.
I mean, it's just one big happy family, I'm telling you.
It really is.
Now, one of the things that I love about Grace is just, and I said this a little while ago, while I'm inviting the world to come by just at least once, come in, but the feeling of belonging and love and just being able to see people and get to know people and the camaraderie and just the family feeling. And I think it probably weighs heavy on me more so than a lot of other people is because I'm an only child. I don't have children or a husband, and this is my family. I mean, I have the most amazing parents in the world, but this is an extended family. And I feel so blessed to be a part of it. Yeah. I do. It makes me giddy.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I'm just so pleased to be a part of this family, this team. So that's one of the things I love.
Awesome. All right. My second one's an easy one.
Okay.
I love, and this may be a very familiar thing to a lot of the listeners today. It may be a very foreign thing, but I love that we receive Holy Communion every week.
Oh yeah.
There are a lot of Protestant churches that don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
For one reason or another, they've made that choice as a church to not do that. But one of the things that made John and Charles Wesley so Methodist, so methodical, was they believed in what they said, regular communion. And for them, it was almost even daily. Cause in the Anglican church in England 300 years ago, you could walk into any church at any point of the day and usually receive communion. And so for them, it was like, no, this is our opportunity to experience experience the love and grace of Christ in a very tangible way through the broken bread and for the poured out cup to experience his love and grace. So why wouldn't you want to do that?
Right.
And for many Methodist churches, this is even kind of abnormal that we do this every week. Many Methodist churches in our nation will do communion on the first Sunday of the month.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing. But when I came to Grace and I learned that several years ago, Grace had decided, no, we want to do this every week. You know, that's just a pastor's dream that a congregation would want to experience God in such a tangible and concrete and beautiful way, to remember Christ's life, death, and resurrection, to experience it in the moment, that life-giving nourishment that holy meal can give us, and to be sent forth nourished to go and be his disciples as we go from that place. I just absolutely love it. It honestly makes my job really easy because I know if I preach a stinker of a sermon, then at least there's communion afterwards, right? You know, it's like, you know, we may have just floundered through this, but let's really focus on what really matters
now,
right now.
Are we still doing drive-through
communion? We are not. We were doing, that's one of the things that changed pretty dramatically with the pandemic, was our communion practices had to change. And understandably so, you touch a lot of things in communion, and we wanted to keep people safe. And so for a long season, we were doing drive-through communion in our parking lot. We were doing that on Wednesday night. Some people listening now may have come to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday mornings, we were doing drive-through communion. But we really feel like now that in Otero County and Alamogordo specifically, that we're in a safe enough spot where we really want to encourage anybody who wants to receive communion. First of all, everybody's welcome. You do not have to be a United Methodist. There is no membership requirement. It could be literally your first Sunday to ever walk into our church. It could be your first Sunday to ever walk into any church.
That's important.
And that's right. And we want you to experience the love and grace of Christ through communion if you feel led to do so. What I say every Sunday is, this is not the Methodist table, this is God's table. All who long, and I mean that, all who long to draw closer to God through Jesus are welcome. And so everybody's welcome. Come join us in person, 9:30s. And that's just one of my favorite things about our way of following Jesus at Grace is regular communion.
Absolutely. And it's so great to be able to do it like we did pre-pandemic,
mm-hmm.
even though the little shots of juice and a cracker were great.
We found better ones. You know, I never knew. They didn't train me in seminary, you know, in the schools that many pastors go to be pastors. They didn't train you how to pick out the best tasting communion elements, especially when they're prepackaged in individual element packages. So that was a learning curve this year.
It was. It was a lot of fun, but I'm just glad we got back to pre-pandemic practices. Hey,
me too.
It was great. So I have one more thing that I just really love about Grace, and I touched on it earlier, but the being a member of Grace and it being such a giving to the community type of service, the service aspect of our congregation specifically.
Yeah.
Now, I can't speak for every United Methodist Church, but I know that ours, only from experience, gives so much to this community. And I mean, not only the partnership with Thrive, but me personally, just being able to be part of helping those in need it touches my heart so much because I'm a service. I have service in my heart. I have help in my heart. I want to help everybody. I tell you that. That's why we're doing that other project, you know?
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to help people that wouldn't get it otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a huge, huge thing for me.
Yeah. I tell people at Grace, anytime they give of anything, give of their money, give of their time, give of their gifts and skills and presents.
Yeah.
Anytime you give, other people know the love of Jesus more. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
Anytime we give of ourselves, other people will come to know the love of Jesus in a greater way. And I agree with you. I love that we are such a giving church, and I love that the community sees us as the giving church. There's not a day goes by that somebody doesn't reach out and say, I know that you're a church that can help. Can you help me? And that's from people with inside the church. That's from our community members. And our answer is, you know, we want to listen to your story. We want to pray with you. We want to help you encounter the love of Jesus more in whatever way that we can in that moment.
Yeah.
I echo that through and through.
And y'all, I have to tell you, and I'm going to ask you to share what events besides the backpack giveaway, what events Grace has coming up. But during the holidays, I know a lot of folks, we already talked about the pumpkin patch, but during the Christmas season, the Grace is opened up like it is always to anyone, but it is so beautiful. And, you know, if I know most listeners probably know where we're located, but tell us the address. It's off of Cuba.
Yep. 1206 Greenwood Lane is our official like mailing address.
So but Greenwood it's at the, and Cuba. It's at
the, yeah, Greenwood and Cuba, 16th and Cuba, in between 16th and Greenwood on Cuba. And if you still haven't figured out what we are the Pumpkin Church. I mean,
that's
So this just if you don't know where the Pumpkin Church is, ask somebody where's the Pumpkin Church, and the somebody else will know where the Pumpkin Church is.
I mean,
is.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. And at Christmas time, I know last year, even during pandemic, we did this amazing come and sit and listen to beautiful Christmas music. It was a come and go thing. You know, we sterilized after each person left.
Yeah.
It was just this amazing. We have an amazing music program. Yeah. People sometimes just come to listen to the music.
Yeah.
When we have special guests, we'll have a slew of new people come in for that day to hear the music because the music is so amazing.
Yeah.
And thanks to Holly Boyle, who is the music director, right?
Yep. Coordinator of worship. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I mean, it really is truly amazing to listen. Just the other day I had somebody tell me, gosh, when are you going to bring the steel drums? They're not a member of Grace, but they know about the steel drums. They know about the bells and they want to come and listen just to that.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know, but I'll find out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's just, the music is amazing. The building itself is unbelievable, especially in the evening when the lights are on inside and you see that stained glass and there's messages and visuals in the front of that church. Now, everybody knows, again, the Pumpkin Church, it's got that big stained glass in the front. It's just so beautiful. Yeah. And the bells ring every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's so, oh, I just love it. I don't know how, there's words I can't say. I just, you know, it's comfortable and beautiful and,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, if you just want to come and hang out and listen to some music, we've got local musicians that come and play, and it's really just awesome.
It's amazing. I've got one last thing that I love about Grace.
Okay, tell me.
Is that everybody at Grace is as excited as you are about Grace. I mean, we are a church full of evangelists for our church, and they just love and adore what God has done in their lives through Grace United Methodist Church. And like any church, Grace has its seasons, Grace has its challenges, Grace has its ups and downs. Grace is not a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect church, and if you say your church is perfect, I have questions for you. But I love that so many people at Grace are just as passionate about the ministry that God is doing there as you just heard Steph describe right here. And so there's an infectious, passionate movement of God happening. And my hope is that that just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. That's my hope as well. This is a great question. Kelly always puts these amazing thinkers on the list.
Can I give a disclaimer to this real quick? Can I do a little teaching real quick about where this question came from? And then I'll let you ask the question. So one of the, back to the whole Methodist thing, you know, why John and his brother Charles were so disciplined in their following of Jesus, one of their practices was they asked themselves a very specific question. And the question was literally, how is it with your soul? Now that's a deep question.
That's a huge, deep question.
It's not something that we wake up every morning asking ourselves, how's it with your
and
soul?
Kind of scary.
You know, ask our spouses or our best friends or our coworkers, how is it with your soul today? You know, it's not something that we ask ourselves, but they saw great power in that because they saw that that question really has the power to open our eyes to the true condition of our lives that day, the true realities. Do I know God more or have I slipped away more? Do I love God more or do I love my neighbor more? Do I hate my neighbor? You know, it has a the power to really pull back the curtain on and honestly look at our lives. And so as United Methodists, my hope as a pastor is that we're continuing that practice somehow. And one of the ways I like to ask that question, because it's a question that's supposed to open our eyes to God all around us. One of the ways I like to ask that question to our church and to anybody is the question that you are about to ask. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to give that that disclaimer. And so now what's the question that we're going to answer today?
The deep question is, where have we seen God at work in our lives this week?
That's right. Do you have an answer yet?
I have 1,000 answers.
You have 1,000? That's great. That's awesome. John Wesley would approve of that.
I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to this question. Yeah. I mean, it depends how deep you take the question,
right.
How you take it literally. I mean, we see God in the sun rising.
That's right.
And us waking up for another day. And I mean, there's just so many amazing, wonderful, beautiful things.
Amen.
But I would love to hear yours.
Yeah. So I agree with you. There are so many ways in on any given day or week that I see God. And I love this question so much is because the more I try to see God in this world, the more I actually see God in this world. And this particular week, I saw God where I often see God, and it's in the life of my children. We had some guests visiting in town, and they had some young children with them. And my oldest, my 12-year-old, my son, he likes to be alone. He likes to have his own personal space. He has a bubble that's a pretty
right.
big bubble, and he doesn't really like too many people encroaching in that bubble, especially strangers. Yeah, I saw my son being a little perturbed and annoyed at times with these little kids that were in our house, and because they were being little kids, you know, they were doing what kids do. And I could see this look on his face, and it actually happened during church because there I was preaching, looking at my family sitting in front of me. This little, you know, 4-year-old poking him, and I could see it in his face. He was like, this frustrates me, but I'm going to be patient.
Good
and
for
to
him.
And to see your kids grow like that, see your kids mature. I'm not the best parent in the world. So I know that's not me. You know, that's God working in our whole life as a family to raise these children to be just loving and kind people. And I saw that, and I just praised God for, like,
did you say anything to him?
Yeah,
about...
we told him how encouraging that was, how proud of him. Aww. We are. We're just so thankful that he is just growing in his ability to love even when it's hard to love. Isn't that a lesson we need to learn today?
Absolutely.
Love even when it's hard to love.
Especially now.
Because we got so many people, like 4-year-olds, poking us. You know, that's sort of what it feels like
from every direction.
And if we could just be like my 12-year-old son to love in the midst of that, man, that was a beautiful moment.
That is beautiful.
And so I saw God in the life of my son this week, and that happens all the time, but that was just one specific example. And the more that I look for God, the more I'll see God. That's mm-hmm. why I love this question so much.
I agree with that statement 100%.
Yep,
the more you look, the more you find.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, how about you? Anything specific?
Gosh, I don't have anything that'll top that.
It's not a competition.
I know.
It's not a competition.
I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I struggle with things that I, you know, on a personal side that I don't share with anyone, really. I mean, I just, and I feel that the more I read, the more I am with in the presence of you and your family and our church family, I just... it's easier for me to get through those things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I'm finding that things that I've struggled with for years, whether it be bad habits, finances, just patience in general. Oh my gosh, patience. I mean, you talk about your son having patience. I've always said I have no patience. I have no patience. But I really am learning how to, and I don't know. I mean, I picture God taking a wand and going, "Dink."
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. You've got a little more patience. I mean, really, because I've struggled with that, and as of late in the last couple of months, it's I've grown a little more in that. Yeah. And I can't tell you a specific, but I can tell you that it's truly helping me in just so many aspects of my life. So, I mean, I just, I look at those things as what I love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I'm so blessed, and I learn from each and every person every day, and which helps me to then go out. This sounds so ridiculous, but it helps me to go out and then help our community, our friends and our family and our neighbors. And that's truly why I'm here in Alamogordo, I feel, is because that is what I'm meant to do, is to help folks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my best to continue to do that.
Yeah.
But I also need help mentally. No jokes there, please. But, you know, I really feel like when I get the help that I need spiritually and from God and from my church family, I am then more equipped to help others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you hit the nail on the head there, the more we ask ourselves, where do we see God? The more we see God. And I firmly believe you can't have an experience with God without wanting to pass it on. You know, an experience in God never turns us inward. An experience with God always turns us outward.
Oh yeah.
To serve others. And so it makes perfect sense what you're saying. The more we see God work in our lives, the more we want other people to experience that as well. And we get to do that through our work in Thrive and at Grace. We get to do that through partnering together.
Oh, yeah.
People listening, you can do that through partnering with Thrive, partnering with Grace. If you experience God in your life and you want to see God in other people's lives, there are two organizations talking to you right here, right now, that can help you do that.
I'm into that. I 100% agree. Yeah. So let me ask you, what kind of events, we mentioned the pumpkin patch. Mm-hmm. We do that every year.
Yep.
You're going to be giving the backpacks away on the 1st of August.
Yep.
Tell us some other things that Grace has upcoming in the near future. There's a microphone.
Yeah, I know. I just, my big nose just slammed into this microphone in front of me.
Oh, that's funny. I wish I had a camera right now. No. Going forward, like in the near future, maybe over the next year, what do you see Grace doing to engage more of our community?
Right. Great question. And I could talk for an hour about this, so you're going to have to cut me off at some point.
Okay.
when I mentioned staff earlier, I wanted to also mention we've had a new addition to our church family, and that's in the addition of Sarah Mercer as our Director of Youth and Mission, our full-time staff person that's going to really lead our church in our outreach and our discipleship of not just the youth of our community, but not just the youth of our church, but also the youth of our community as we reach out in a very missional way. Like I said, we don't want to, we're not stealing people from other churches. We want people who don't know Jesus, youth who don't know Jesus, to know Jesus. And
I will tell you, I'm going to interrupt you real quick, because I do know there's a lot of children that go to different churches in the community that'll go to another church for youth.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it happens all the time.
And it's
happened for years.
Yep.
And people understand that.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're not, that church isn't stealing that youth from their home church.
Absolutely.
They may have an activity where their friends are going, and you know,
they like that flavor of toothpaste.
I love that. I'm so going to use
Hey, use it. It works in so many ways.
It does.
And so I'm just excited for her, and she has just a lot envisioned and planned and looking at the future of what can be done here, and I'm so excited to get those plans out into the community once they're concrete. I mean, literally, she just started the job this week, so I don't want to put too much on her plate yet, but I'm excited to share about that. One thing personally that I've just felt really called to do lately is I'm the pastor of an entire church. I'm not just the pastor of this age group or that age group or this age group. And one of the things that God has really called me to do in this new year is to do a much better job of investing in the lives of our children, our fifth grade and younger, all the way down to infancy. And in so many areas of my pastoral career so far, I've always just kind of siloed that off and said, oh, that's the children's department or that's the Sunday school department. Mm-hmm. And it's only been in this past 6 months that God has said, Kelly, you're their pastor too. And I am so excited about that. God's right. I am their pastor too. And so starting on Sunday, August 15th, I think it's either August, I'm terrible at dates, as you can tell. It's either August 15th or August 16th, whatever that Sunday is. We are launching a brand new Sunday morning children's ministry experience. It's not going to be Sunday school. It's not going to be kids worship. It's going to be something entirely new where it's just going to be me and the kids and some very, very special volunteers there with me. And so if your parents, guardians, if y'all are out there in the community and you want somewhere to something for your kids to do on Sunday mornings, if they're not doing anything on Sunday mornings, at 10:30, drop them off at Grace United Methodist Church. We would love to love on your kids for an hour and a half. And we would love for you to join us if you want to. But right in that moment, I really want to be a pastor to the kids of our community. And I'm going to start being directly involved in teaching and sharing these beautiful stories of Jesus with kids who just love Jesus so much. Kids love Jesus so much better than we do. And that's why Jesus tells us to be like them. And so I can't wait to see their eyes light up and their hearts light up.
Oh, that's great.
And
it is the 15th.
It is the 15th. Okay,
I had to
good.
Mentally count
Yeah,
my
I do
head.
Too, Sue, sometimes too. So Sunday the 15th, around 9:30 a.m. that morning, we are going to be launching a brand new, Steph and I know this term, fresh expression of sharing Jesus with other people. And this is going to be an hour of sharing Jesus with our kids. And I'm just so thrilled with that. Yeah. So that's one thing that's on the horizon. And then, you know, with school starting, we're really going to ramp up with weekly Bible studies and weekly service opportunities. In the fall, as a church, we're going to take this church-wide journey through the entire Old Testament. So if the Old Testament is something that has been daunting to you or scares you or it just confuses you, Grace United Methodist Church is the place to be, because I'm going to be taking us through Sunday mornings and midweek studies through the entire Old Testament. As my hope is that by the end, come the end of the year, that you will understand not just the Old Testament, but God's love and grace like never before, as we go from Genesis all the way to the end of the Old Testament throughout the fall.
That's exciting. I feel like I know the Old Testament a lot more than I know the New Testament. So I can't wait.
Well, we'll have to do the same with the New Testament very soon.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Yep. So we are coming up at the end of the hour. Can you believe it's been an hour, Kelly? I mean,
I knew this wasn't going to be a problem for us.
I know. Like we said at the beginning, we can talk and talk and talk. And this is probably the fastest hour I've done on this show. Seriously.
Well, I love it. I love it.
And so I want to thank you again so very much.
My pleasure.
For being here. I mean, you are my friend. You are my
absolutely
my pastor. I'm so, so grateful and blessed to have you in my life. And thank you so much for your leadership at Grace and continuing our partnership with
absolutely.
Thrive. I'm so excited about that. So, folks, if you want to, again, learn more about Grace United Methodist Church or Thrive in Southern New Mexico, can they call the church and what is the number? Do you know it off the top of your head?
You would ask me that. Again, I'm terrible with dates and I'm terrible with numbers as well. But they can Google us, Grace United Methodist Church. You can go to wearegracechurch.com.
Oh, there you go. That's what I needed.
Wearegracechurch.com, and that will take you to our...
We need t-shirts that say that,
I
by
know.
The way.
It needs to say the phone number, too, so I don't forget. You can find us on Facebook at Grace United Methodist Church, Alamogordo. Type in the same thing on YouTube, and that'll bring up our YouTube channel. I don't call any... There we go.
Oh.
That's it. Okay, I just remembered the phone number.
This is why Mike is not far, so we don't break or blow anything up.
Number is 575-437-7640.
437-7640, folks. That's Grace United Methodist Church. And thank you again, Kelly, so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And also, if you want to learn more about any of those Thrive events that are coming up, again, I'm going to run through those. We have the silent auction coming up next week on July 22nd through 25th. Some amazing items. We have an agency fair coming up August 2nd at Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center, 10 to 2 on August 2nd. Some amazing door prizes. Come out and learn about your local nonprofits. Stuff the Bus is coming up August 6th and 7th at the Walmart Supercenter in Alamogordo. August 6th and 7th, we've partnered with Grace United Methodist Church and Love Inc. And then again on September 10th, our 30th annual Day of Caring. Please, if you want to know any more information, go to letsthrivenm.org. You can give us a call at 437-8400. Thank you so much for listening to us today. We have completely filled up our hour, and I am so grateful to have been your ear for the last hour, and I will see you next, or I will talk to you next month. I won't see you next month. And this is Stephanie Hale with Live with Thrive. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Live with Thrive show with your host, Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Catch the Live with Thrive show the second Tuesday of each month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Plowcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.